Hello, and welcome back to Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. In the show today, we will talk with Simon Olson, Strategy and Partnerships with Sentient Vision. We will hear Simon's perspective on the future of marine search and rescue for Canadians, along with the challenges that officers are facing when it comes to water defense and marine SAR, as well as new technologies to consider and much more. So let's get started. Simon, welcome to Vanguard Radio, and thanks for taking the time to talk with us. I know in Australia it's probably early morning over there, and we're so glad to have you join our program.
John, it is a pleasure to be here, and whilst it may be early, it is summer over here right now, so I don't think you should feel too sorry for me at this point in time.
Yes, I think it's a little different over here. We've got our first frosting of snow. To jump right in, Simon, for the benefit of our listeners, can you share with us briefly what the Sentient Vision is all about? Tell us about your company.
Yeah, I think in a nutshell, the easiest way to put it is that the foundations of my company, Sentient, is based around the development of autonomous detection systems. That's the core of it, and we actually began creating innovative solutions for CCTV or PTZ cameras, so security cameras, and being able to find unusual behavior or unusual situations in security cameras because of the, as you can imagine, a large number of these cameras are out there in all sorts of environments, and the difficulty in monitoring them becomes burdensome. And so finding a way to use autonomy is where our company was founded. And from that point, we migrated into the defense space primarily. And clearly the applications that we developed for the civilian space and CCTV and PTZ cameras had a natural analogy with some of the challenges with full motion video in the modern warfare environment, and particularly from drones collecting vast amounts of data. And what do you do with that data? And so there was a natural extension that we found to migrate our technology into the military space to create autonomous detection systems and solutions for drones and other manned aircraft. And as we began to evolve and move further into those markets, we began working more with folks in the maritime domain and the Coast Guards, and noticed an obvious adjunct to that, and that was that in fields such as search and rescue, or fishing, or illegal fishing, or pollution control, there hadn't really been a lot of technology evolution in those areas at all over the past 100 years, really. And so we have slowly migrated and expanded and evolved some of these solutions into more of those civil applications that we're about to talk to in this podcast.
That's interesting stuff. Simon, can you tell us a little more about SAR technology and VIDAR? We'd really enjoy your opinion on that.
It's an interesting field, and I kind of alluded to it before, but it's one of the few elements of today's society that's largely been unaffected by technology. It's quite remarkable. I think if I was to tell you, or if I was to tell the average person in the street, what would be, if you were lost at sea tomorrow, if you were out there and your boat went down and you were in a life jacket out in the middle of an ocean somewhere off the coast of Canada, what would be the tool that the most important critical tool that the search and rescue operators would be using to try and find you? I think there'd be a lot of people listening to this podcast that might be surprised to hear that that is most likely to be the human eyes on the operators doing that search. That is still where we are at. There's no doubt that we have adapted or utilized technology that was built for other purposes. Clearly, we have things like very highly capable helicopters and fixed-wing aircraft that are very effective at getting into environments and domains for longer periods that are tougher to get access to. And we are able to utilize technologies such as radar and a variety of different forms for parts of those tasks. And we have things such as transponders or beacons. So if you happen to take a transponder or a beacon with you on your boat before you capsized, then you at least have some degree of proximity with which operators can commence a search. But the remarkable thing I think that I found as I've gone through this journey is that even if in the best case scenario where you're someone lost at sea and you have a transponder and a beacon and the helicopter has maybe a radar, the latest generation radar, and so we have a rough idea of where you might be, it's still a considerable amount of time before they can actually find you. I was having a conversation with some of the SAR operators from the UK Maritime Coast Guard Agency. I don't know if you're aware or not, but they went to a pretty significant tender for new search and rescue services back in 2015, 2016. Brand new helicopters, brand new radars, brand new equipment, kitted out aircraft. But the reality is, and it was interesting having that conversation with them, they sort of gave me the feeling that in the scenario where they're looking for someone lost at sea, assuming they have all that equipment on board, assuming that the person has a transponder or a locating beacon, it can still be 25 to 30 minutes to find them. And I don't know about you, but that surprised me. And the reality is that the accuracy of some of those transponders and beacons still means that they're still within a 2x2 nautical mile box often for searching. The accuracy of that technology means there's still a search to be conducted once they have a rough idea of where you are. And that's when they have an idea of where you are in the first place. And so the remainder of that search is conducted by the human eye. And we're talking about Canadian waters, where it can get pretty darn cold. Half an hour matters, and so this stuff isn't just a matter of getting better from an efficiency perspective. This is about getting better to save lives.
Certainly, it's really interesting, and I guess it begs the question. What's the future of marine SAR? I mean, especially for Canadians, and what kind of technologies are on the horizon that are going to help to further pinpoint search and rescue operations?
That's a good question, and I think that's the foundation that we began with in our creation of VIDAR. It was that observation. It was that observation, John. It was those conversations with people doing this challenging work, which is where we came up with the technology that is now VIDAR, to try and bring a technological solution to this problem. The core of the challenge is there's no technology that exists today, well, previously certainly, that had the ability to find very small objects on the ocean surface. I don't know if you noticed down here in Australia when there was a search conducted for the MH370 aircraft, but the reality was, we had tens of millions of dollars worth of the latest hardware and equipment from around the world, but despite that technology, we still had people looking out windows and looking through binoculars. It's a tough job. VIDAR was created for that purpose. So what VIDAR does is bring the autonomous solutions that we have created over the last 15 years into the maritime domain. And we call it an optical radar because in essence what it does is we have an array of cameras which looks out over the ocean surface. But the smarts is in the autonomy. The software that we have on board is able to autonomously scan the ocean and autonomously detect very small objects that are well beyond the scope of what a human eye can detect at distances and ranges that change the game when it comes to search and rescue. And I don't use that word lightly. If we go back to our comparison point, for example, and we look at our UK Maritime Coast Guard Agency example of a search box or a search area of 2 by 2 nautical miles, which is not that large, and we think about it took them roughly 25 to 30 minutes to be able to find those people lost at sea in that scenario. You know, I think if we're looking at, and we've said, okay, if we can improve that by reducing that search box or search that search time by 1 or 2 minutes, that will be a good outcome. You know, even 5 minutes. 5 minutes would be tremendous. What would be the outcome potentially if we could half that? If we could literally half that time frame to go from 25 to 15 minutes, that would be a significant breakthrough. The reality is that with VIDAR, that same search box, that person lost at sea, could be found in seconds.
Wow, that's incredible.
I'm just talking 15 minutes, seconds. And so in the U.S. Coast Guard did a full evaluation of this technology in 2016, and they presented a report in 2017. And in their words, they considered this one of the most significant technological breakthroughs for maritime search in the 21st century. Now, the U.S. Coast Guard isn't particularly prone to exaggeration, so I think that statement is something that is reasonably significant.
So, Simon, is this a technology that's actively being adapted now by the U.S. Coast Guard or the United Kingdom Navy or the Royal Australian Navy, or is it about to be implemented?
So the technology was and is being used currently by the U.S. Coast Guard. It began operations with the U.S. Coast Guard for counter-narcotic operations in terms of the acquisition process they were in at that point in time, facilitated easy entry into service and fast entry into service. And so it's actually been on the news a couple of times in the U.S. as a result of some of the successes that has been achieved with this technology and the in some of the counter-narcotic work that the U.S. Coast Guard is doing down on the southern borders. It's also in use by the Australian Navy here in maritime missions here in Australia, and by the Australian, I guess you'd call them the Australian Coast Guard or the Australian Coast Search and Rescue Organization. We have a group down here called the Australian Maritime Safety Authority, which is accountable for search and rescue activities here in Australia. And the technology is deployed on the fixed wing aircraft that we have in operation down here in Australia for search and rescue.
Okay.
So it is still very new, but it is actively out there in service now.
Okay. Now, this type of program, I'm going to imagine, would be very helpful here in Canada. How does this tie into adopting new approaches for the Canadian marketplace?
Yeah, look, we're very excited about the opportunities in Canada, and so we are working actively with the Canadian government to try and explore and move forward the opportunity with the Canadian National Defence. As you may be aware, they went to tender some time ago for a fixed-wing SAR contract for fixed-wing aircraft. Unfortunately, the technology wasn't yet on the market for that particular contract, and so we were unable to get it in time for that deployment. But certainly, they're in the middle of an upgrade to their Cormorant fleet, which is their search and rescue helicopter fleet. And we are working both with them and with our Canadian partners to try and provide a solution that works and this, the Canadian government can incorporate into that upgrade, midlife upgrade program, because clearly it would have a drastic or dramatic effect on a range of things now relative to that program's life cycle. Particularly in Canada, I think the application in Canada just grows much, much greater. The realities in Canada are the conditions are so much more harsh than in many other parts of the world, and so traditional technologies are even less effective in the Canadian environment. You know, if we start to think about things like radar, which are tremendously, it's an amazing capability and served us well for the last, you know, almost 100 years now. But the technology was built for finding large ships at sea, and it's very good at doing that at considerable ranges. Very hard to find smaller objects on the surface, though, with a radar-type technology, and it becomes almost impossible as the sea states increase, as the environments become more challenging, because the ocean clutter confuses the radar signature back to the aircraft. That's the core of the technological challenge. And so in a Canadian environment, the tools that may be applicable in certain other parts of the world are next to useless in the Canadian context. And so the application of a tool like VIDAR, where it is undeterred by the ocean environment, becomes all the more compelling. And so we have done a lot of work we've demonstrated this system to the Canadians already. They have seen it operate. We have done a lot of work with our Canadian partners to provide the Canadian government with an understanding of how the system would be employed operationally to try and make it easier to incorporate into how they work their aircraft, just to make them more comfortable with understanding how the technology works. And the reality is change is difficult. But what excites me is that it's core to the Canadian government mission statement that they want to maximize SAR efficiency through innovation. They are a forward-thinking Coast Guard, and so or National Defence Agency. And so that's helpful as we look to try and find solutions to improve search and rescue.
Well, it certainly sounds like VIDAR is going to be an important technology and contributor to the Canadian search and rescue efforts, and we look forward to hearing more about it as it progresses in the future, especially with the Cormorant modernization project. In closing, Simon, any thoughts on what the future of marine search and rescue is going to look like? I mean, you've covered quite a bit here, but are there any new technologies that you think are being incubated that our listenership would want to also hear about?
That's a good question. I think there's the things such as attempting to try and get greater range with aircraft. Although it sounds very basic, it's quite important because, again, it's being able to do more with constrained budgets is a really important factor as well. Canada, again, very similar to Australia, has an enormously large field of regard or coverage field or requirement to cover in terms of its ocean states and very complex environments. So there's a lot of work going on, and some of the small things that you may not notice beneath the surface, such as, you know, adapting technologies to work more effectively in challenging environments. And again, no more present is that than in Canada. Being able to have aircraft operate in more diverse environments for longer periods of time. Being able to be more efficient with their fuel output, so reducing the size and power of the technology on board the aircraft, which enables the aircraft to fly farther and further. And then there's the work that we're doing with our VIDAR technology. We've just started. We see enormous evolution of this technology as we extend to hardware that enables us to see further and longer, and new processing systems that enable us to process more data faster and from a much more smaller size footprint. Again, all that helps us add endurance and range to the helicopter, which means we can fly far further to rescue people further lost at sea. So all these things are critically important and a matrix of solutions to try and solve the SAR problem. What I like about Canada is because of its challenge and because of the difficult environments and terrains and because of the unique circumstances in which search and rescue operators have to operate, they are a very forward-thinking organization. They are looking to see how they can do things better, and that's not the case across the world. And so I think we're very proud of the fact that our solution comes with a Canadian cameras, Canadian processes, and Canadian hardware. And so it's almost like it's bringing the solution home, to be quite frank. The core of all of our equipment and the equipment that's in operation in Australia and the US is Canadian made, ironically. So we're quite excited as a team to be able to bring this solution back to Canada and be able to employ it in an environment that it was custom designed for.
Well, we're excited certainly to hear about the technology, and it sounds like it's a great testing ground here in Canada to fine-tune the product and give the feedback that's so vital to making the product full 360 in terms of quality and service. We've had the opportunity today to speak with Simon Olson, Strategy and Partnerships with Sentient Vision. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. We've certainly found it very interesting, and we hope to have you on future episodes to give us updates on the progress that's being made. Thank you very much, Simon.
Thank you, John. It was my pleasure.
I'm your host, J. Richard Jones, for this week's episode of Vanguard Radio, and it's been a pleasure to be with you.